Good morning, and this morning we will unpack the theme of hospitality, which literally means love the stranger. In the scriptures, the Apostle Paul encourages us to practice hospitality, which literally means to pursue the love of strangers. I recently received a letter from a family. If you remember, about a month ago or so, there was a young man who lost his life tragically outside the church in a car accident. And they sent a letter here to the church, and they said, "I want to thank you and Pastor Dave for reaching out to me when you learned about my son's passing." He said, and this is what they said. They said, "You continued to reach out, and I so appreciate that." You continued to reach out. That's the idea behind hospitality. We didn't know the family who lost their son that morning, but there was a continued effort to reach out and say, "Look, this happened in our front yard. We want to love you. We want to come alongside you." And we received that letter this week, and it was powerful to receive that letter and to hear of that kind of hospitality being exhibited in our church family. You know, God thinks so highly of hospitality, in fact, that he actually put it in part of the qualifications of the highest calling of leadership in the church, the elder in 1 Timothy and Titus. Hospitality is a requirement for all elders in the church. Be hospitable. Practice the love of the stranger. Peter encourages his people in First Peter chapter 4, and he says, continue to offer hospitality and do so without grumbling, without complaining. And why would Peter say do it without complaining? Because hospitality is the type of love where there is no obligation from the recipient to come back with, right? Hospitality is the love of the stranger. You are putting yourself out and expecting nothing in return. That's what hospitality is. Jesus went on and he shared a story which has become famously known as the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I want to read that to you here this morning to kind of help us unpack where we're going to go this morning. And in this parable, Jesus tells a story of a young man who was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho, and on his way to his destination, a group of robbers came and beat him up and left him essentially half dead on the side of the road. And not too long after, this fellow is on the ground and he's bleeding and he's left for dead. A priest, a religious fellow, comes walking down the road. Someone who you would think would have a hospitable spirit. And what happens? The priest walks by this man who's half dead and kind of passes him by on the other side. And not too long later, a Levite, another religious fellow, comes along. And he sees the man half dead and he does the same kind of thing, kind of walks around him, kind of avoids the interruption and kind of moves on with his life. But Jesus says, and then there was a Samaritan, who the Samaritans in those days, particularly for the Jews, they were looked down upon. And he said there was a Samaritan who came alongside the road, and he saw the man that was half dead. And listen to what Jesus says about how this man takes care of the fellow who's half dead on the side of the road. And I want you to, as we're reading this, I'm going to talk about different opportunities a Samaritan had to actually tap out and say, enough, I don't need to go the extra mile. But let's listen to what he said. He says, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, right there, he could have tapped out, just like the priest and the Levite. And so I'm going to go on with my day. But he saw him, and he says he took pity on him. Again, he could have tapped out at that moment, but he says he went to him and bandaged his wounds. Again, he could have stopped there. But he goes on, he says he poured oil and wine on the fellow to refresh him and to kind of help him recover from the beating. He could have stopped at that moment and said, good, have a nice day, I did my thing. But he went on and he says, then he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn. Again, the Samaritan could have tapped out at that moment and gave him to the innkeeper and said, keep him. But he goes on and he took care of him, he says. So he took him to the inn and he took care of him. He got him settled in his little room and he started to take care of him furthermore. He could have tapped out at that point. But he says, the next day he took out 2 denarii, took out his own money from his own wallet and he gave them to the innkeeper. Again, the Samaritan could have tapped out at that moment. He says, look after him, he said. And he could have tapped out at that moment. But he goes on, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. You see the extravagant love that Jesus is trying to portray. That this is what it looks like to love with a hospitable heart, to love our neighbors the way that God would want us to love the people that he puts in our sphere of influence. Why hospitality? Because it most exemplifies the love of God. You see, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrated his love in this way, that while we were still enemies of God, Christ died on our behalf. Now let's play it out. There's a pyramid of relationships, if you will. At the top, you may have a friend, which is the epitome of the highest relationship, a true friend. And from there, then we move to an acquaintance, someone you may run into and bump into. But then from there, if you go down another rung, it's to the stranger, someone you have no connection to or relationship with. But there's even another rung that you would go below that, and it would call the enemy, someone that you know and that you do not get along with and is your enemy. And God not only trumps the love of stranger, he says, love your enemy. And God exemplified that through his son, Jesus. And that's the type of love that ought to embody the idea of hospitality. He goes on as well in Leviticus, when the nation of Israel was just beginning to form, and he was setting some boundaries and some guidelines for what he wanted his nation to look like. Check out what he said to the nation here in Leviticus 19. He says, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. In other words, the stranger ought to be treated as a native born. Love them as yourself. And guess what he says here? For you were foreigners in Egypt. And then when you can think of any excuse you might have, love the stranger the way that I would love myself. You want me to pour out an unconditional love towards somebody else with no expectation of any kind of return back in my bank account? And this is what he says. And I love this. And he says, I am the Lord your God. In other words, do it. Do it. No excuses. And then in Galatians, we see this modeled in the love that God has for us through his son, his inclusive love, that anyone who puts their faith in Jesus is part of his family. And he goes on in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 28, and he says this, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all, get this, one in Christ Jesus. You see, not only does the gospel, the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection, bring us closer to God, the implication and the practice of the gospel ought to bring people together as well. And so we don't view people as other people. We view us together collectively as us, working together in God's family. So what does it look like for Davisville Church to excel in the area of hospitality, in the area of loving the stranger? What does it look like for us to celebrate that and to pursue the stranger amongst us? How do we do it? Two words, making space. Making space in our lives. We make space in our parking lot. We make space in our church building. We make space in our hearts. We make space in our heads. We make space in our calendars. Hospitality, to really get it, requires us to make space. I began to think in my own sphere, who are the people that I need to make space for? I wrote down a list here. I just thought about my new neighbors. The lady holding up the grocery line because she can't find her credit card. The little league dad who's berating his child. The waitress that served me breakfast two times this week. The bagel shop owner or the person at the gym who's working out for the first time. Those are some of the strangers in my life that God is calling me to exhibit a hospitality kind of love, a love of the stranger with no strings attached. Now this morning you see a table set here, which a table, in my opinion, is kind of the ultimate word picture of God's hospitality, to welcome people to the table. And this morning I'm going to invite a few guests up here. We're going to fill this table out with a handful of people who've been practicing hospitality, who have begun to make space, or who have been making space in their lives. And I think it's best for us at times to learn from those individuals, to learn the lessons that they've learned through this. And so I want to invite our first guest up here this morning, and her name is Jane Drebus. And Jane, if you want to make your way up here at the table with me. Jane and her husband, Greg, have begun a work in Cambodia probably about over 15 years. They've been processing what it means to go to Cambodia and to serve there. Why don't you take a seat there, Jane? But they initially went as church planners with the team that Davisville sent, that many of you may be aware of. And as they were there, they began to see an amazing opportunity to reach out to the folks in Cambodia from really a more of a compassion, kind of mercy kind of bent. in what they were doing. And Jane was telling me a really neat story. As they were interacting with the folks in Cambodia, there was a number of people whose floors just got flooded out from a major flood, and they were estimating the costs of what it would cost to kind of repair those floors. And in their head, Jane and Greg were wrestling, it was going to cost about $10,000 to fix this damage in these floors. And they didn't make this request known by anyone, but rather quickly they received a $10,000 check in the mail. And they took that as a sign, like, God, you are a hospitable God. You care about the stranger. And so they went ahead and they began to move forward with that. And over the years, their heart has really begun to focus on a compassion, mercy type of ministry. And they started their own organization called Refuge for the Poor. But so here's Jane, and her husband Greg is sitting over there off to the side there waving at us. And we want to ask Jane some questions. Jane's going to share a few things that she learned in her time in Cambodia. But first of all, Jane, if you could take us back to the early days in Cambodia, you actually were the stranger, right? You were the stranger. You and Greg are going there, and you're the foreigner. I think oftentimes it's hard for us to put ourselves in the foreigner's shoes, but you were the foreigner. So take us through some of the obstacles and the challenges that you faced being the stranger.
First of all, you know, when you first get there, it's just a separation from everything you know and your family and, you know, so, and I'm not an emotional person, and I was very excited to be there as a missionary, but as soon as you get there, it's just all the unknown. It's just, there's fear, there's just a deep sadness almost of missing your family. I'm just not like that at all, but those feelings just overwhelm you. Very first Christmas we were there, I couldn't listen to Christmas carols. They would make me cry, and I'm not a crier at all. But so there's just this just loneliness, I guess, or I don't know if it's loneliness, but a sadness and a real, real hard, and even fear. Like, we had bars on our windows, so we didn't know what that was for. You know, the bars, like, we really didn't know what type of community we were in. So there was some fear there, so a lot of different emotions you never have.
I think it's important for us to realize that when we talk about even loving a stranger, so I'm going to try to continue to take things from Cambodia and kind of bring them back to here, but there is a set of emotions and thoughts that the stranger, you know, take it from maybe the first person that's trying to come to Davisville Church for the first time, there's a whole lot of thoughts and feelings that they're feeling before they enter a door that is unknown, before that door opens, and they're entering into a world where I'm not sure what's going to happen, and they're taking a step of faith in a way of exposing themselves to some of that.
Right.
So I know much of your ministry, especially nowadays, is geared towards compassion and mercy and really loving the stranger. I mean, you guys are loving strangers on the streets of Cambodia. And can you talk to us a little bit about that kind of radical love for this? How have you seen that radical love transform the stranger?
I do have one story. I prayed about it and thought, how, you know, do we really radically, you know, change people? And I do remember this one story where someone actually brought us someone because he had a large tumor, cancerous tumor on his neck. And they're very poor, you know, five children, had nothing. And they knew that we would help people, so they brought him to us. And we took him to the Christian clinic because they would witness there at the Christian clinic. And it was actually early on when we had language, but not much language. And so that was a great place to witness. And anyway, he ended up leaving the Christian clinic, but they couldn't do much for him. It was just going to grow larger. They did what they could, and he ended up in a lot of pain. And they called us in the middle of the night. And so we took him to the hospital in the middle of the night. They would not be able to do that. He would just lay there in pain. So we ended up getting him morphine shots, so that he wouldn't be in so much pain. And he stayed there for quite a while. So we would go there, and we bought a CD player and had him listening to, like, Bible things. And we took our teens, who we were reaching out to at the time. They would sing and dance and do Christian songs just to, you know, make them have something to do. And anyway, by the end, he did pass away. And we were away when he passed away. And when we came back, his wife and children came to us and they said, our dad, or my husband told me that he would like us to follow your God. You know, so he, you know, during that process, you know, he had come to know, he was a Buddhist, and so he had come to know Jesus. Wow. Yeah.
So this idea of being hospitable can be transformational across someone's life.
And,
that is neat to hear. But as you guys are fully immersed in being hospitable and loving the stranger and doing those types of things, and I think if anyone's sitting in here as well, you hear this call to love the stranger, but it becomes, sometimes it almost may feel overwhelming, like, how do I have nothing left in the tank to do some of those things. But talk us through just real quickly how you balance that, the burnout of being constantly poured out to love the stranger, but also finding the strength and energy, to maintain a healthy life moving forward, too.
The Lord always impressed upon my heart that it has to be Him first. I had to, stay really close to Him. Otherwise, I would burn out or there wouldn't be anything. But early on, there were times when I was just like laid out flat on the bed and I couldn't move. I wasn't sick. I wasn't sick, right. But it was just a stressful thing. And so I learned early on, how to balance. And one example, even up until the end, the last time we were there before we came home, Greg and I, and we're getting older, so it's like we're getting tired.
It happens to us all, doesn't it?
So Greg and I made a conscious decision that we used to always stop for the people with pulling the carts on the street. They're the poorest of the poor, and they actually buy other people's trash so that they can in turn sell it for recyclables. And if they get very little money, and often they'll have little children in the back of the cart that are in the hot sun. It's just, it's terrible to watch. So we would stop, while we're driving down the street and talk to them and maybe give them money. Mm-hmm. Usually we did give them money, but, so we would, and then sometimes invite them back. Mm-hmm. But, where was I? So we had to make a conscious decision to stop, to stop reaching out to them. It sounds terrible, but our ministry had gotten bigger, and we just felt like we need to. And we were helping like children, like those little kids in the cart, by sending them to school. And so we had to make that decision.
No, those are tough decisions. Tough decisions. But I love how you said just it begins, I think, being drawn into that relationship with God yourself and finding that the whole idea we love because He first loved us, and to understand His love to pour out to those around us. So thank you, Jane, for just sharing some of those things. And Jane's going to continue to maintain her seat at the table here as we bring some others in and continue this discussion. But I'd like to invite Louise Abley to come on up here right now. And Louise and her husband, Morgan, have been serving in the city of Kensington for over 10 years now. And primarily they've been working with a mission down there to feed the poor. And as they would describe it, they've been invested in feeding the poor physically and spiritually in Kensington. And recently they've taken on the ownership once a quarter in the year, they make the meal and serve the meal to hundreds of people in Kensington. And I have a great team that they do that with. So we have an example of Cambodia, which is kind of far away, but here, right here, maybe not even a half hour away, we got some people practicing the art of hospitality as well and where they're at. So thank you, Louise, for joining us here this morning. But what are some of the, take us into the mindset on a given Sunday when you go down there, but what are some of the immediate sounds, sights, smells that immediately alert you to, like, you're the stranger now, just like Jane was a stranger in Cambodia, like you're entering into a territory. And oftentimes I think God, when we are moving into the area of hospitality, we'll find ourselves feeling like the stranger a little bit. But take us through a little bit of what you see, smell, that kind of alerts you to you're in hospitality territory.
Well, the first thing that we see is the Market Frankfurt L is riding overhead, and we're right on Kensington Avenue.
There's not too many of them in the suburbs, is there?
Not too many of them. So that's a clear indicator that I'm not in Southampton anymore. There are sometimes people sleeping on the sidewalk. Doesn't matter the weather. Doesn't matter the heat outside. They may be asleep. They may be passed out. But there are people that we have to step around. which is a sad,
yeah.
a sad reality.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there's a number of challenges, I'm sure, as you initially kind of make that movement into the area where you're going. But how does your mission, what you're doing, help break down some of those obstacles or some of those challenges?
The table we're sitting at is a perfect example. Food is one of the biggest barriers in breaking down any type of barrier. When our guests arrive, they show up at the gate and we let them in, and they're seated at a table. And our servers will bring their meal to them, restaurant style. And we try to treat them with dignity and respect that they're not necessarily always getting out in the real world. We also encourage our servers to, if there's an opportunity, to grab a beverage, to grab a meal and go sit with them and share and fellowship with the people that are there. And let them know that maybe for just 15 minutes they've got a friend somewhere.
Yeah, the power of relationship, really, right there, right?
Absolutely.
When hospitality, God is calling us to be relational, to be present, to make space in that moment to do that. And I love that idea that you guys, the attitude you serve with down there. What are some of the greatest struggles? Take us into the mind of some of the people you're serving. Beyond the homelessness, what are some of the biggest struggles that they face as strangers, as foreigners, probably oftentimes in their own land?
Lack of hope is probably one of the biggest barriers in their life. Some people are fighting addiction, but not everybody. Some people are just, they live there, they may have enough money to cover their expenses, but they may be food insecure. So we're trying to relieve that burden for them for even just a little while. Despair. Sometimes they're ostracized there are people in the neighborhood who are strangers themselves. They may be displaced from some other existence that they had. Addiction may have forced them to the streets there. So just lack of hope is probably the all-encompassing.
And it's a good reminder that there's more than meets the eye when we interact with people, right? There's layers of hurt and pain and things like that, but a hospitable spirit can go a long way in breaking down and peeling some of those layers of the onion away, right? But lastly, what has serving the stranger taught you about yourself? You and Morgan have been doing this for close to 10 years. What has it taught you?
Well, as far as being a stranger, I grew up poor in that neighborhood, not too far away from there, and I always prided myself on being a very strong person, and in serving the people that we're serving, I'm humbled every time we go because there's a couple of realities. Number one, that could have been my reality, but for one choice for some people. But also, I have come to realize that I couldn't do anything if I didn't have God's greatness holding me up.
Mm, that's great. Well, thank you, Louise. There'll be an opportunity to interact with Jane and Louise and the rest of the folks at the table here after our service this morning. But thanks for sharing a little bit and peeling back a little bit of where it's going. Next guest I want to invite to the table is Matt Wilt. And so, Matt, if you want to join us up here. Matt and his wife, Sarah, have been leading a life group here at Davisville for a number of years now, and they have a real passion to develop a depth of relationship with people, as well as see those relationships as a tool to reach out and to move out in their neighborhood and make the name of Jesus famous. And so I've appreciated Matt and Sarah's commitment to that and their desire to want to continue to lead in that area. And I want to ask Matt a couple questions about how our life groups here at Davisville can intersect with this whole concept of hospitality. And so, Matt, real quick, just out of the gate, what is the best part? You've been in a life group for a number of years. What is the best part of being in a life group for you and Sarah?
Davisville feels big, and you really don't always know the people beside you. And I think having a place, being able to kind of focus in on a few people here at church that you can, you know, get to know them, and to be able to have a connection and to make Jesus the central part of it, to be able to have fellowship, to be able to just experience relationship with a purpose of being able to know Jesus deeply.
Yeah. You just see the relationship as this idea of intimacy and getting to know one another and to be known. And I think deep inside, all of us want to be known. Mm. And just like your work in Kensington, Louise, there's this peeling of the onion away. It takes time to build that relationship and to build something that has some kind of value and worth to it. But how have the relationships in your life group grown you? So there's this, you're pouring yourself out building relationships, but there's a piece of it where you benefit from all that.
Yeah, I think our focus has been a lot on what the gospel means in our everyday life, where at first it was like a chance to be able to get to know people. And then it was like, oh, I feel strange. I feel awkward. I don't really, you know, I'm not always the fun guy. But then you realize that, you know, as we grow in understanding what the gospel means, we understand that we're already accepted by Jesus. He has already, you know, stepped across and made that relationship known. And once you know that you're accepted by Jesus and that he knows exactly who you are and there's no secrets with him, and you have confidence in how you approach other people with that, it's like now you have an environment that you can, you know, test life out like, all right, if I'm accepted, if I'm known, if I can start to love others in a way that I once wasn't able to. So I think that's in that group mentality. You get a chance to experience Jesus in a whole different way.
And so take us through, how does a life group and hospitality, how do those two things intersect? How does a life group get to participate in the art of hospitality?
Well, when we can kind of practice together what the gospel means and how it's, and we can be reminding each other of the gospel in that situation and reminding of the good news that Jesus has done for us and in the environment of like regularly meeting and then being able to bring others into that environment as well. It's not just my group of six, but when we can start having my group of six interact with people outside of the group together, it almost feels like there's this whole purpose, and you're starting to share Jesus outside of just the group that you know.
Yeah. It reminds me to go back to that Leviticus passage, love the stranger in your land, and there's this call to continue to be looking outside of ourselves. They're not designed just for ourselves. They're designed for us to be used by God to make his name famous in our world.
And being able to do it together is so helpful.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. To be alone can be a heavy burden to carry. Take us through a little bit, you know, if you can kind of summarize it quickly. What are some of your hopes and dreams for your life group? As you think about your life group, where God has placed you. I know we've talked about God placing us. He places us in our communities for a purpose. I live where I live on purpose. You live where you live on purpose. You know, God places us there. But what are your hopes and dreams for your life group as you look ahead?
Well, I think in the same way, like, you know, hearing about Cambodia, hearing about Kensington, and just being able to join together to care for the people of Upper Moreland where I live is, you know, that's what gets me excited. And not doing it alone gets me even more excited that, you know, people that I interact with are being interacted by other people. Like when I find out that there's people outside of my life group that know the same people and are interacting with the same people, it's like, man, God has this all planned out to share his good news with others. So I love just having that be the heartbeat of our group.
Now this fall, I know we have mentioned this already, but this fall we're looking to begin a six-week experience for life groups where people can begin to kind of get a taste for what it means to be in a life group. And we have about 20 to 21 leaders right now that are signed up to lead life groups. And actually today is the day that the online, it's going to be live. So you can actually go on our website and go to our group finder and begin to look at all the different life groups that are being offered this fall and sign up and be a part of a life group this fall and experience what it would look like for 6 weeks to kind of live with that intentionality and that community and experience all that there is there. But if you jump on the website, there'll be someone again outside at our expo after the service that'll be able to interact with you and show you a little bit about that and take you through that process if you want to just get a feel for some of the life groups that are happening here. But a great way to kind of put that idea of hospitality on the ground and begin to move forward in our respective communities. I want to invite one more person to the table, and that is Jamie McKenzie. Jamie, if you would come on up here at this time. Jamie, Jason, and her daughter, Reagan, they moved here from Texas about, I forget the exact timing, but I met them about a year ago, And it was about a year ago that the oversight of all of our hospitality ministry teams kind of came to me, and I started to jump into that position. I'm like, I really don't understand and know all that goes into kind of making the hospitality teams work. And lo and behold, would you have it that Jamie and I kind of bumped into each other in the hallway. And Jamie's previous life, she was the hospitality director at her church in Texas, a large church in Texas, and kind of oversaw all the areas of hospitality. And it was kind of like the timing of it all was a little uncanny, right? Where, you know, this is coming and here I bump into her and has a deep passion for seeing hospitality kind of get off on the ground here and to be a church that loves the stranger amongst us. And so I left for a sabbatical for 3 months, and it was nice to see that Jamie and Jason were still here at Davisville, like kind of leaning in and being a part when I came back from the sabbatical. And for the past six months or so, we've been working with the different leadership teams of the hospitality ministries. And those hospitality ministries are like our ushers, our greeters, our welcome center team, our cafe team, the security that's around here. They're all part of making making our church hospitable. And so we've been working with those teams for the past 6 months. And I'm excited to have Jamie here just to kind of represent kind of from an oversight view of what that looks like. She's going to be doing some work behind the scenes in some of these areas. So, Jamie, if you could, just tell us a little bit about what we're trying to do as a church to love the stranger.
Okay, well, the first thing we're doing is anticipating that we will have guests. And we are doing that a number of ways. First thing, if you drove in today, you may have seen our new big flags that have the service times. We're trying to make it very clear for people who don't go here that we have church and this is the time. And then people can pull in the parking lot and see a large brand new sign that says guest parking, and they know where to go so that they can park and work their way into the church. Well, they will then meet our wonderful volunteers. And we're bringing a cohesiveness to this group of hospitality people. All of our greeters and welcome center and ushers will be working together so that people walk in the door and are greeted numerous times and see a lot of friendly faces. And then behind the scenes, whenever someone comes to our church, they will be receiving a letter from Pastor Matt, handwritten, just welcoming them. And then there will be some follow-up that will be happening very soon now that we're launching life groups, where they will be invited to join a life group. And they will also be invited to serve so that they can get connected within our church and feel like they are a part of everything. So as you all know, our goal as the church is to influence others to fully follow Jesus. So what we're doing is just trying to create a very clear path for that to happen.
Yeah. You know, oftentimes, trying to follow Jesus isn't always the simplest thing to do, right? It's some of the biggest challenges for us. But we want to create a clear path to lead people to Jesus and not put any barriers or you know, things in the way for them to encounter who Jesus is and his radical love for them. So it's neat to see some of the things that are happening, and it'll be continued to be some more things happening around here that you'll be able to see and say, wow, I get what that's for. I get what that's for. But the idea to expect people on a given Sunday. So, but tell us, how many strangers, so to speak, might we experience, what might we expect on any given Sunday, a church this size? What is the average?
Okay, so right now we're getting about 5 to 10 new people every Sunday, which is awesome, by the way. It's about 2 families. But a church our size can expect to get up to 20 new people every Sunday.
Hmm. So, I mean, just to be thinking about, for us to be thinking about that and processing mm-hmm. that as we're sitting on a Sunday morning, you're walking through the doors, you're part of, everyone who's part of this church family is part of this hospitality, this call to be hospitable to our neighbors and our strangers around us. But what are some simple things that any one of us can do on a Sunday to love the stranger? So there's a couple things that we could all do to be a part of this, right?
Right. Well, every one of us can be on the lookout for a face that you don't know. And every one of us can introduce yourselves to these people, make them feel welcome so that they don't walk in and out of this church without talking to anybody. You can offer to grab a cup of coffee in the cafe after, or we have a lot of events at this church. You can just invite someone to come along with you to an event so that they don't go alone.
Yeah. And after this, there'll be some time again in our expo where people will be able to interact with you over there with an iPad. But what are some practical ways that people can plug in and get involved? So there's some easy on-ramps for people to kind of, you're sitting in a larger church and you're saying, how do I get plugged in? What are some simple ways that somebody could plug in?
Well, we would really love it if you join our hospitality team. So there are a number of different positions. There are a number of different positions you can do. There's the welcome desk at the front. You can be a greeter on multi-levels or the doors, an usher, safety and security, the cafe. There's just a number of different places where you can get plugged in. The rotation is incredibly flexible. If you can serve once every 6 months or if you want to serve every week, we will work with you. And it is an awesome way to not only connect and make friends, but just to serve in this church.
To participate in what God's doing. It's a very simple way to be involved in what God's doing all around us. And so I appreciate that. Well, thank you all for being a part of this. And I'm going to ask them to remain at the table here as we move to our next phase here. But this table, what you see here at the table, the elements of what we've come to know as the Lord's table or communion, to me, there's no greater kind of reminder of the call to being hospitable. I mean, when Jesus gave up his life, as Romans 5:8 said, but God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners or enemies of God, Christ died for us. To me, that is the foundation that we build from in all of our efforts of hospitality, whether it's in Cambodia, in Kensington, in Upper Moreland, or right here in Southampton, in our little place called Davisville Church. That becomes the foundation for us to kind of move forward. And I want to take us back to that time when Jesus gathered his closest followers around him. And in Matthew 26, it says, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. In other words, this is my plan for making strangers part of the family, right? And then he goes on and he says, I tell you, I will not, and I want us to pick up on this, I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And there is a way that Jesus instituted this thing called communion in the Lord's table, but he says, and there's going to be a day, one day, when we're sitting around the table and we're going to drink this again, and we're going to reminisce, and we're going to reflect, and you're going to experience my perfect love in the real place called heaven. And I can't help but think about that, and my mind goes right to the book of Revelation where there's some pictures that are painted about heaven. And there's a picture in particular that's painted about heaven where every nation and every tribe and every tongue and every language will be before the Savior Jesus and worshiping him. And that place will be filled with so many strangers to you and I. But we will know each other fully, I think, in those moments. But there will be strangers around that, so to speak, table in heaven. And that's what God is calling us to now on this side of heaven, is to be a part of filling the table. And he calls us to be a part of that mission. And I can think of no greater call for us as a church to excel in the gift of hospitality. And so the ushers are going to come and they're going to pass the bread and the juice. We're going to do this a little bit differently this morning, where they're going to pass both elements right behind each other. And we're going to go into some song and some worship here. But I want to encourage you, as you feel led in those moments, be reminded of the unbelievable love that God has displayed to us. And in that moment, you can feel free to take communion on your own. Take the bread and the cup on your own as the music's playing and you're kind of having a personal time there. But as you're thinking, think about this. Who is God calling you to be hospitable towards? Who is that stranger in your life that as you're taking communion, you're saying, yes, God, I'm going to partner with you and I am going to display your love for the stranger in my life. And so let's do that together. There will be a day when every nation, tribe, and tongue, and language is before Jesus. And I don't know if it soaks in for you, but you're part of leading a movement. Each of you is in different ways of providing a path for to be at that table, you know. And one day they'll be at the table with you and worshiping your Savior. And we all know that any transformation that happens in someone's life is not because of our works, but it's because of what God has done in their lives. And God asks us to partner with him in doing that. And so we want to make it real clear that as a church, we want to excel in the area of hospitality. And I would challenge you, if you're not engaged in any kind of ministry here, serving in some capacity, as Jamie had shared too, that there are some very easy on-ramps to be a part of what God's doing in the area of hospitality and being a part of an ushering team or a greeter or at the cafe or the welcome center. There's a very simple, tangible next steps. And I would encourage you or challenge you to consider doing that if you're not plugged in an area right now, to take that step and just get to know some other people here at the church and be a part of what God's doing all around us. We'd love to have you be a part of that. And you can check that out at the expo afterwards, as well as interact with Jane and Louise and Matt about some of the respective areas that they have. They'll have some tables set up in our expo. We purposely cut this service a little short so that going back to be a part of that and going to the expo that's outside the doors here is something that you actually would take advantage of. You know, I would encourage you to take advantage of that. Use that as an act of worship to go and interact with some people, learn a little bit more about how we're trying to be hospitable here at Davisville. So we're cutting it short a little bit for you to do that. And it's just a reminder that as we move down this road that we're a church. It doesn't meet just one time, right? We have a 9 o'clock and we have a 10:30. And so there's opportunities to serve in both capacities as a church here and what we're doing. And so we want to excel in this area of hospitality. Just a reminder, if you came prepared to give this morning, there is some buckets on the way out. I'd encourage you to drop your offering in those plates there. There'll be some people at the doors with those. And so thank you for being a part of this. And I hope that together we can excel in this area of hospitality, loving the stranger, making space for the people God has put near us. So thank you, and we'll see you back at the expo.